United States after nearly a decade of easy monetary policy. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. Both Fed Chair Janet Yellen and European Central Bank President Mario Draghi will speak at the Fed's annual symposium at Jackson Hole today. Diane Swonk joins us to talk about it. She's a longtime Fed watcher and CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Diane, we know that Chair Yellen is going to talk about financial stability today. So how stable are we? What does our economy look like after practically a decade of easy monetary policy?
We've come very far from not having any credit at all in the wake of the crisis, where literally people's credit lines were cut, they lost their credit lines on credit cards. Now we're starting to see credit getting much more easy. Even as the Fed raises rate, it's getting easier for people to qualify. Some of that's because we're just doing better. More people have jobs, more people have incomes, but more importantly, it's also because the financial system is now in a position to lend more aggressively.
So this is basically a very critical moment in the business cycle for the Fed. There's a debate inside the Federal Reserve about how to act on this moment, whether to use increased or decreased regulation or to change rates further.
What they're afraid of is they want to be able to say for smaller banks, you know, it's not as hard and onerous for you to comply with regulations. But at the same time, they don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and lose the progress they've made on financial stability. And they're also worried that this is the time when you start to see financial firms make mistakes, lend too aggressively. And what they really want to try to preserve is the stability they've created. And it's a very hard line to walk.
It's not just Chair Yellen who is speaking today. Mario Draghi, the head of the European Central Bank, is also going to speak this afternoon. Last time he spoke at Jackson Hole, he sort of laid the groundwork for Europe's own plan to lower rates and encourage borrowing. What do we think we're going to hear from him this time?
Well, this time he's got the challenge of trying to say we don't need as much accommodation. We've now finally got not only the global economy growing in sync, but we've now got central banks wanting to back off on all that accommodation they provided because they think there's enough for these economies to grow. And that sounds great, but one of the things Mario Draghi is worried about is that as he lifts his foot off the accelerator, not hitting the brake, he may face other repercussions of interest rates going too high or, more importantly, the euro, which has been appreciating further.
All right. Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, it's David Brancaccio. We wanted to let you know that this Midday Update podcast feed will be shutting down Tuesday, September 5th. But not to worry, you can get all your morning business news by subscribing to the main Marketplace Morning Report podcast. That's where you can listen to the Midday Update and a brand new global business edition of the Morning Report that we're producing with help from our friends at the BBC World Service. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast so you don't miss a thing. And thank you.
Airbnb disrupted the home rental business, but a handful of startups want to go further. With apartment construction booming in recent years, some companies are finding new ways to connect building owners and short-term tenants. Marketplace's Adam Allington has more.
Home sharing services such as Airbnb are great for homeowners looking to make extra money by renting out properties, but for people living in apartment buildings, it's a bit more tricky.
Right now, it's the Wild Wild West when it comes to short-term rentals.
Sean Conway is the CEO of Pillow Residential, a company which seeks to make it easier to rent apartments on Airbnb. Right now, most buildings have rules barring Airbnb, so Conway asked property owners what it would take to change that.
And they told us transparency, control, and profit sharing.
Pillow is now in 12 cities and lets building owners control how much tenants use Airbnb. It also gives them a cut of the profits, around 15%. Conway says it's also a way for tenants to afford the increasing cost of rent.
And now what property managers are realizing is this is what the next renter generation really appeals towards, being able to utilize unutilized assets.
But there are signs the apartment market is starting to cool. Hans Nordby of CoStar Portfolio Strategy says vacancy rates have risen to 8.1%, up from 6.8% a year ago.
The developers are starting to pull their reins in the markets that have rent losses and vacancy rate increases because they both lead to less net income for the building.
And even when demand for apartments is strong, it can still take a long time from the moment a high-rise building opens up until it's completely filled with tenants, something Jason Feudin calls timing inefficiency.
When we build a new building, a high-rise building or a large building, the first day it opens, you have hundreds of vacant units.
To address this inefficiency, Feudin started Y Hotel, a company seeking to turn those empty apartments into pop-up hotels. For consumers, it offers the perks of an apartment at hotel prices. For developers, it helps them monetize their investment quicker.
Pulling the trigger on a project of that scale with $150 million in motion is a difficult economic decision because of that time lapse between the go decision and when you start seeing real income.
Feudin says Y Hotel could make it easier for investors to greenlight projects.
To the extent that a Y Hotel use is in the building, it means that it's a less risky decision for a developer to build that building.
Y Hotel's rollout took 50 units in a new building in Arlington, Virginia, and just shut down a few months ago. Feudin says even bigger pop-up hotels are already scheduled for next year. In Washington, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Perhaps the most important new use for virtual reality technology in decades has arrived at Kentucky Fried Chicken. The fast food chicken giant is using virtual reality to train its employees in how to fry chickens. It's basically a 3D video game. It involves inspecting, rinsing, breading, racking, and pressure frying digital chickens, all while listening to commentary from a slightly crazy-sounding Colonel Sanders. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.